Well, good morning, Team Grace. I want to thank you for joining us for this formation day. I realize that of all the possible places you could be and all of the multiple things you can be engaged in, you are carving out this time in order to very much focus on your faith. And I am profoundly grateful as your pastor and as a fellow believer. It's so important as believers that we periodically take this time in order to dive into some aspect of our faith, in order to understand, first of all, who God is, what it means to be his children, what it means to follow him, the claims of the Lord Jesus, what it means to be a Christian, and then how we are called to live, what is our mission. And so all these different areas, it's so important for our own edification, for our own formation, that we periodically take some time in order to dive in. So thank you, Team Grace, for making that time. Today is our formation day. We are going to meet from 9 to 12. We're going to be talking about the ways and the methods of evangelization. But before we move on, let's begin with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Heavenly Father, you are the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end of all things. You initiated a good work in each of us on the day of our baptism. You pour your grace generously into each of our hearts. You have summoned us to live the most excellent way of love and to generously share what you have given us to all men and women. Heavenly Father, we approach you on this formation day to explore the ways and the methods of evangelization, how we can speak of you in the midst of our world today. Father, we know that it is a difficult world. Our faith has been privatized. Discussions about you have been silenced. People feel awkward in speaking about anything that pertains to you. We ask you nevertheless that through the power of your Son and by the workings of the Holy Spirit, Father, that you give us the many gifts of your Spirit, that you fill us with all the things we need necessary in order to boldly, credibly, kindly speak about you, so that all might know of your love and of the opportunity for salvation in your Son. We ask for those graces, Father, as we ask for all things, all good things, through Jesus Christ, who is Lord forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Well, okay, Team Grace, I want to just walk you through our day today. So as I mentioned, we're going to be meeting from about 9 to 12. So there's three conferences. One is at 9 o'clock, one is at 10 o'clock, and the third and final one is at 11 o'clock. Our talk today initiates our conference, our time together, our full conference. We're going to have the presentation about 40 minutes, and then there'll be a 20-minute pause, and then the next talk will begin at 10 a.m., and it'll be about 40 minutes and a 20-minute break, and then the third talk at 11 a.m., and then it will go for about 40 minutes. Now, the hope is that after each talk, each of these three conferences, that yes, of course, that you know you might use the restroom or you might get a snack, of course, right? But also that you will use the time in between each talk to take a few moments to reflect and pray upon what has been presented. So whether that's just taking your notepad, maybe some notes you've scribbled, and go sitting outside for a good few minutes, or going for a brief walk down the sidewalk, whatever it might be, however it has to be for you, for your temperament, for your possibility, but to really give yourself that time. It's not meant as a 20-minute break to just do all the other stuff. Take care of all the other things, of course, but also make sure you take that time in order to really reflect. So at the end of each conference, asking, what did I learn from this? What was reinforced in my heart by this talk? And then asking God, Lord, what do you want from me? It's so important that after we hear a good talk, and I hope this is a good talk, that we have a few takeaways. And from our takeaways, we make resolutions in order to grow in the spiritual life. So hear what has to be said. Make some notes, hopefully as you're listening. And then let that break after the talk be an opportunity to identify those takeaway, these points or highlights for you, and then to make those resolutions. And that's why I'm going to really emphasize the use, the good use of those breaks in between each of these talks. All right. So with that said, let's go to our first talk. Now, we know as Christians that we are called to be a people of prayer. Now, this is so important for us, Team Grace. In fact, St. Alphonsus Liguori, the doctor of the church and patron saint of moral theologians, I prayed to him a lot when I was in studies in moral theology. He makes the bold claim that those who do not pray cannot be saved. And the Catechism of the Catholic Church takes his quote and incorporates it into the catechesis of the church, that those who do not pray cannot be saved. It's like, whoa, what? Back that up, right? What does that mean? Well, it definitely has to be developed. What it basically means is that if we're not praying, then we don't know God. If we're not praying, we don't know the ways of God. If we're not praying, God's grace can't transform us. And what we end up doing is serving a God that we don't know. I go to Mass, I fulfill my responsibilities, I do what's expected of me, but I don't really know God. I don't talk to Him, I don't listen to Him. And when we have that type of approach, God becomes a stranger. Even as we are fulfilling all these other duties, God becomes a stranger. And Team Grace, when God becomes a stranger, all His ways are strange. Forgive your enemy. Selflessly serve others. Go the extra mile, even for those who are unkind to you. Serve the poor. And the list goes on. These are strange things that we naturally in our fallenness want to rebel against unless we're praying. It's precisely by prayer that the graces of the sacraments are fanned into flame. The powerful thing about grace is it transforms us. Grace is the life and the power of God within us, and God's presence cannot dwell in a place and not change it. It will always transform wherever it is or in whomever it is. So we're receiving grace. It wants to work. And when we pray, that grace is fanned in the flame. It grows. It becomes a fire within us. But we have to pray. Otherwise, we get all the grace of the sacraments, all the actual grace of doing these other good things, but it can't work. And we get all this grace of a God that we don't even know. Because we've never really spoken to Him, and we've never really quieted down enough to listen to Him speak to us in a radical personal way in the inner recesses of our heart, as the book of Psalms says. So we have to pray. And if we don't pray, we don't know God, we don't know His ways, His grace can't work, and therefore we have hardened hearts. We do not obey, we will not do what God asks of us, we will compromise the message. We will not be saved. This is what St. Alphonsus Liguori, doctor of the church, this is what he meant. Those who do not pray cannot be saved. So Team Grace, what I want to do in our talk today, this first talk, I want to first discuss how to pray. And then from that, how do we pray publicly? Because as Catholics, we're inevitably in a group of other Christians and they say, hey, Joe, or hey, you know, Sue, why don't you go ahead and lead the prayer? And as Catholics, we don't know what to do. Even if we have a rich prayer life, we don't know what to do. How do I say a spontaneous prayer in public? Well, I want to talk about a general format you can follow that can help you. But before we talk about praying publicly, I want to focus a little bit more on our prayer life. Team Grace, as Christian believers, we have to pray. We know that the Lord Jesus marked every morning and every night in prayer. He could not have done all that he accomplished without a radical intimacy with God the Father. And he knew it. In difficult moments, he turned to prayer. We see that most especially that as he leaves the upper room, he goes to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray. To pray. Father, let this cup pass, but your will be done. We can only have that resolution when we are a people of prayer. I don't want to do this. I don't want to go there. I don't want to obey, but your will be done. I will do what you have asked. That's a fruit of prayer. And we see the Lord Jesus in constant prayer. In fact, on one occasion, we suspect after perhaps a year into his ministry, the apostles finally asked the Lord, Luke chapter 11, verse 1, Lord, teach us to pray. I am so moved by that single verse, Luke chapter 11, verse 1. I wrote an entire book under that title. Lord, teach us to pray. What a profound sense of humility on the part of the apostles. Do you know St. Paul tells us in Romans chapter 8 that we do not know how to pray as we ought? We don't know what we're doing. We do not know how to pray as we ought, and the Spirit prays through us. If we allow the Holy Spirit to work, the grace of God is brought into a flame within us, and the Holy Spirit prays through us. I knew at some point in my life that I had received the gift of prayer. When on one particular occasion, I remember this as if it just happened yesterday, it is burned in my mind. I was at an airport. I had just flown in from a transatlantic flight. I don't like flying. I arrive at the airport. I'm exhausted. I go to get my luggage, and the luggage is delayed. Normally, I would be praying, Lord, let them get their act together. Lord, why don't you speed this up? Lord, let me hurry up and get my bags and get out of here. Those would have been my normal prayers. So selfish. But I knew the Holy Spirit was praying through me, and that the gift of prayer was beginning to be given. Because as I stood there exhausted and frustrated, my prayer was higher than my fallenness. And my prayer instead was, Lord, grant me the patience to wait for my luggage. What? Lord, may you keep the airport workers safe who have to move this luggage so quickly. What? Who is praying these prayers? Right? Who is praying these prayers? Right? It's the Holy Spirit praying through me, Team Grace. The Holy Spirit was elevating, putting that grace to work, raising me up, and getting me out of my selfishness and my fallenness, and allowing a true prayer to be offered. We do not know how to pray as we ought. The Spirit prays through us. And so here we go back to Luke chapter 11, verse 1. The apostles, they witness Jesus praying. They say to the Lord Jesus, Lord, teach us to pray. And in response, Jesus gives us the ultimate prayer, the best prayer, the outline of all prayer, the prayer we popularly call the Our Father. And similarly, I have been so moved by that prayer. The years of reflecting upon those seven petitions, the seven petitions contained in that one prayer, that I've written an entire book on that. Thy kingdom come. Living the Lord's Prayer in everyday life. Because when we are praying well, we are living that prayer. And we understand what Jesus gave us in that Lord's Prayer, in his prayer, we begin to realize this isn't simply an outline on how to pray. This is an outline on how to live. And we begin to understand the seven petitions contained in that prayer. That begins to model and order all of our other prayer. Jesus was not simply giving a prayer. He had just come from prayer to the Father. He's saying, when you pray, this is how you are to pray. He's extending his own intimacy with the Father to each of us, which is why he begins with the salutation, not my Father and yours. He begins with our Father. Our Father. He associates himself with us. He, the Son, by nature, associates himself with us, the sons and daughters, by grace. Our Father. He extends that intimacy of the Father to each of us, and he guides and teaches us, this is how you are to pray, not simply in memorizing and repeating this prayer, although that's part of it, but to learn from this prayer the format, the outline, the interior logic of prayer itself. The seven petitions, the first three, pertain to God. It is about God's name, God's kingdom, and God's will. Because if we're going to get anywhere in the spiritual life, we've got to get these three right. It begins with God. And then we move from the first three to the last seven. Excuse me, the last four. Because after we have acknowledged God and our relationship with God, now we have to address our relationship with our neighbor and with the world around us. We speak about, forgive us, give us, lead us, deliver us. The four petitions in terms of our interaction with our neighbor and with our world. The early fathers of our faith saw in the two parts of the Lord's Prayer the fulfillment of the two tablets of the Ten Commandments. You'll recall that the Ten Commandments were divided into two tablets. The first tablet, the first three, our relationship with God. Worship God alone, honor his name, honor the Sabbath. The second tablet, the remaining seven commandments, to honor our father and mother, to not kill, to not commit adultery, to not steal, to not lie or bear false witness, to not covet our neighbor's goods nor our neighbor's wife. The two tablets of the law, love of God and love of neighbor, here find fulfillment in the Lord's Prayer. Thy kingdom, thy name, thy will, forgive us, give us, lead us, deliver us. The fulfillment in Christ of what it means not simply to pray to God, but to live as a child of God and to walk in the ways of God. So he gives us this Lord's Prayer. I want to encourage you, Team Grace, to see in this prayer that the Lord has given to us a beautiful model, an example, a template of all of our other prayers. In popular catechetics, we sometimes use the acronym ACTS, A-C-T-S. This can help us if we think of Acts. You can imply like Acts of the Apostles, right? The work of the early Christian community, Acts of the Apostles, but Acts, A-C-T-S. This summarizes and combines the different parts of the Lord's Prayer into these four movements of prayer. First, A, adoration. That when we pray, we seek to adore God. Prayer is not like forming a list at Christmas for Santa Claus. This is what I want. This is what I want. Prayer is not some wish list. Prayer is first and foremost about dwelling and being with God. Someone says, I don't believe in prayer. Why? Because I asked God for other stuff and he didn't give it to me. Well, then you weren't trying prayer. Because the Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of the Father, is not some fat Santa Claus who's meant to stand around giving us everything we want. It's not prayer. In fact, that is a paganization of prayer. It's like approaching the living and true God with a pagan's heart. Give me. I demand. You will provide. That's not the posture of a son or daughter. When we approach God, first and foremost, we approach the life of prayer, which is a dwelling with God, a being with God, a living with God, a rejoicing in God's presence. We begin first and foremost with A, that is adoration. It means we praise Him. We remind ourselves in our fallenness of how beautiful and majestic and powerful He is. In the book of Job, in the Old Testament, when Job is challenging God because he's lost everything, his wife has died, his children have died, he has lost his wealth, he has lost his own health. And Job is questioning God, and the entire book of Job is trying to answer the question, why do bad things happen to good people? Job is upset, and Job begins to question God and command God and demand that He answer him. God comes back and says, Job, Job, Job. You little man. Who do you think you are? Were you there when I created the heavens and the earth? Were you there when I created the pits of the oceans or the stars above? Who do you think you are? And Job was humble before God. He reminded of God's power and majesty. And Job is humble before God and beautifully gives testimony. In the past, my ears had heard of you. But now, Lord, my eyes see you. Job had a conversion to trust in the Almighty, all-powerful, ever-living God to create and has created all things, to trust in His plan, and to know and to have confidence in His goodness. And Job, receiving the movements of that conversion, will say, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. There's that praise. Bravo, Job. There's that praise. There's that adoration. We begin our prayer in adoration. Lord God, you are the creator of all things. You touch every heart, you move every spirit. You are the Alpha and the Omega, the Ancient of Days. You are the throne of every heart and the hope of every people. Dear friends, we start with adoration. We just open up. We just let the Holy Spirit pray through us, and we just open up. We give God that adoration. You know what I'll tell you, dear friends? When you start to develop a spirit of adoration, when you allow the Holy Spirit to pray, and you begin with that A, adoration, it starts feeling so good, you don't want to stop. Because it just lifts up your spirit. Takes you out of all the fallenness and the pettiness. And we're allowed and able to have that conversion of Job. To not simply hear of God, but to see God. A, adoration. C, contrition. When we stand before the all-powerful, all-holy God, we are forced, our spirit is moved to a spirit of contrition. You are the all-powerful and the ever-living God, and I repent of my sins. I am not worthy to be in your presence. The prophet Isaiah, when he is called to be a prophet by God, he humbles himself and says, I am a man of unclean lips. Living among a people of unclean lips, I cannot speak your praise. God says, you're right, Isaiah. God sends an angel with a burning charcoal and purifies the mouth of his prophet, Isaiah. But Isaiah knew that he was not worthy. He had nothing to offer. He had no merit before the all-holiness of God. What about in the New Testament? When St. Peter is called by the Lord Jesus and he sees the miracle, so many fish are caught that they're ripping the nets. And St. Peter falls at the feet of our Lord and says, depart from me, Lord, depart from me. for I am a sinner. It's one of the few requests that the Lord Jesus does not answer in the New Testament. The Lord isn't going anywhere. St. Peter is right. He's unworthy. We are unworthy. The Lord says, get up, Peter. Not only will you follow me, but I will make you a fisher of men. I will let you share in my mission to bring about the redemption of the world. Get up, Peter. To see contrition, to acknowledge our sinfulness, our brokenness, our unworthiness before God. A-C-T. T for thanksgiving. Because when we've praised God and we've acknowledged our sinfulness, then our hearts are filled with thanksgiving. Because God says to us exactly what he says to Isaiah, exactly what he says to Peter. He says, Isaiah, you're right, you've got some dirty lips. I'm going to clean them up. And he purifies his mouth. And he says to Peter, get up. You are unworthy, but I call you to myself because I love you, Peter, and you're going to follow me, and you're going to share in my own mission. That's exactly what God says to each of us. And when he says that, we are so filled with thanksgiving. I thank you, Lord, for your mercy and your kindness. Your mercy echoes through the ages. You lift me up when I am fallen. And you have mercy on me, a sinner. I praise you and I thank you, Lord. Thanksgiving. A-C-T-S. S. Supplication. This is the part that everybody wants to jump to. But Team Grace, did you notice? We had to go through a lot before we could get to S. We had to get through adoration, contrition, thanksgiving, so we could get to supplication. Because if we do it the right way, when we get the supplication, it's not, Lord, you better listen to me, you better do what I want. When we have the right spirit, we get the supplication, say, Lord, I come before you with empty hands. I come before you with empty hands, and I make my petitions before you, knowing that your will is far better than mine, and your plan is far greater than mine. And I surrender all things, your will be done. But I offer these supplications because I know you are my Father, and I know you love me, and I know you want me to place my petitions before you. I give you my supplications, Lord. But I offer them humbly, with filial confidence and boldness, with complete trust. Team Grace, this is what we call ACTS, A-C-T-S, adoration, contrition, thanksgiving, supplication. It is a summary, a merging of the seven petitions of the Lord's Prayer, a call, an invitation, an outline on how we are to pray. But perhaps you're saying, I get that, but I don't know really what to do. If you're a night owl, do it at night. If you're an early bird, then do it in the morning. But find a time and begin to pray. And follow this ACTS, this ACTS model, and just block out 5 minutes. So we say, oh, come on, Father, 5 minutes, that's nothing. Good, then do it. Give the Lord that 5 minutes, or give him 10. But the most important thing at the beginning is that you are consistent. You block out the time, you give him the time, you let that be an oasis for your heart, an oasis for your soul. You block out that time and you spend that time with the Lord. You don't let anything, do not allow anything else to take that time from you. You say, I'm going to consecrate my 5 minutes or my 10 minutes or whatever you give him. I'm going to consecrate it for him. Nothing else touches it. Maybe you say, I'm going to do this after I brush my teeth at night or after breakfast in the morning. Whenever it is, try to do it around the same time. Form a habit. If you're finding yourself still having difficulty with the ACTS, then begin with just complaining. We do that very well. As fallen human beings, we're always complaining. Just start your prayer with complaining. And I say that because we complain to the people that we know care about us. I don't complain to my worst enemy. I complain to the person who love me, who are going to take my side, who are going to rally my cause. We can turn to God and begin our prayer with just complaining, and then let our complaining eventually begin to be formed and move into this Acts model. And eventually, after we pray for a while, we have to have those pauses. Because in the inner recesses of your heart, the living God will speak to you. He will speak words of conviction and consolation, hope and power. The living God will speak to you in your heart. But you've got to quiet things down. You have to encounter him. You have to seek his face. You have to follow that model of prayer and praise him and ask for contrition and show contrition. You have to be thankful. You have to offer your prayers with confidence, your petitions with confidence. And then you have to quiet down, Team Grace, and let God speak back. I wanted to begin this conference by talking about the life of prayer. In order for us first and foremost to be a people of prayer, we are receiving the grace of prayer in every sacrament. We know the grace of God, again, it's the life of God within us. Its entire impetus is to bring forth and manifest the holiness of God and his kingdom. But we have to allow that grace to work. We have to say yes, and we have to be a people of prayer. Now, I want to stress that first and foremost because I did not want to just jump into how to pray formally. You can memorize outlines on how to do that, but I don't want you to do that unless you're a person of prayer, because if we're praying publicly but we're not praying privately, we're hypocrites. If we're praying in public and in public but we're not praying in private, it is fake. I don't want us to be fake, especially because we have the Holy Spirit that dwells within us. And the Holy Spirit desires to pray through each of us. Dear friends, you realize that the Holy Spirit that dwells within us, St. Paul tells us, the Spirit that dwells within us is the exact same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. The same Spirit that raised our Lord from the dead dwells within each of us. And that's the same Spirit that wants to pray through us. But we have to let him. We have to show up. Open up and let the Spirit work. So first and foremost, we have to work on our life of prayer. And now I want to talk about what it means to lead public prayer. Oftentimes Catholics are caught off guard, as I was saying earlier. It's like, oh no, I don't know what to do. Here's a quick and simple outline. Now there are many ways to pray publicly. I'm just giving you a few variations. When we're asked to pray in public, it is always good to address our prayer to the Father. Most of Christian prayer, including the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, is directed to God the Father. So it's good to begin our prayer addressing the Father. So, for example, good and gracious God, or Heavenly Father, or Eternal Lord of all things. You get the idea, Team Grace, that the prayer begins with some general salutation to God the Father. Now, once we begin to have that salutation, then we can move to some type of acknowledgement of need. Good and gracious God, we stand before you with empty hands. Or, although sinners, you call us to yourself. There's some acknowledgement of our need for God. This then leads us to some type of thanksgiving. Good and gracious God, although we have turned and walked far from you, we thank you as you call us to yourself. There's some type of thanksgiving. And then there's the supplication. Now, I hope you've caught on. Hey, wait a minute. A-C-T-S. Woohoo! Go Team Grace, huh? And then the supplication. Heavenly Father, you are the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end of all things. Although we have turned against you, you have called us to yourself, and you seek to bless us, and we thank you, Lord. As we come before you asking that you bless us with the spirit of prayer, that we might readily turn to you in our need and in our darkness, and always know of your profound light. There's the supplication, Team Grace. We offer the supplication, and then the prayer ends. Through Christ our Lord, amen. And you can conclude it with, we ask all these things, or we ask all these things, and we ask these and all good things through Christ our Lord. Now, if you begin with a salutation to the Father, you can conclude with, through Christ our Lord. Oftentimes when you're praying publicly, that's where people get stuck. They're like, I don't know how to end this thing. And if you start the prayer with, Jesus, we ask you, blah, 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 through Christ our Lord. Well, wait, you're praying to Jesus through Jesus? Like, and again, this oftentimes happens because people get nervous. I hope, Team Grace, that you have already, or you begin to pray publicly so often that you are calm and peaceful, so that when you pray in public, you are praying then just as you are praying in private. I'll share with you, when I have to lead public prayer, the first thing I do, I try to close my eyes and I imagine that no one else is there. And it's me talking to God. And I try as best as I'm able, and sometimes it can be nervous depending on what the situation is. Like leading prayer for the U.S. House of Representatives, right? That was a little stressful, right? Yeah. But I try to close my eyes and imagine that it's just me, Jeff Kirby, the sinner, addressing God, my Father, who loves me, and I'm just going to speak to him. And Team Grace, I think the more that you are able to have that peace, so to get used and accustomed to speaking and praying in public spontaneously, the more you do that and that you are praying privately, the more the two become one. Because you're speaking to the same God, it's the same heart, and whether it's you yourself in your room or 100 people or 1,000 people, whether it's a bunch of workers at a work site or whether it's the U.S. House of Representatives, whether it's a prayer meeting or whether it's a bunch of men assembled together at Shoney's for breakfast, it doesn't matter. Because you're talking to God, and wherever you are speaking to him as you would speak to him in any situation. So that's our task. It's to really develop our personal prayer, our spontaneous personal prayer. Set prayers have their place, Team Grace. So it's very important that we know the Lord's Prayer. We have that in our other set prayers. Here at the parish, we say the St. Michael the Archangel and the Act of Hope after every Mass. Our set prayers are very important, but we also have to have time where we're just speaking from our heart. And I'm giving you that ACTS as a model. It flows from the Lord's Prayer, that template given to us by Jesus, ACTS. And then when we are called to pray in public, we follow that same model. And the more we become comfortable with praying publicly, the more we're able to just do it smoothly. That's the real secret to spontaneous public prayer. To pray as you've been praying in private and to follow that model. Now, as I address that, there is one other type of public prayer that sometimes you can use. If you choose or desire to pray directly to the Lord, Lord Jesus Christ, and if we do that and we address the Lord directly, it's good that we use some type of description. So rather than Jesus, we could certainly do that. But oftentimes we want to use our acknowledgement of the Lord to give some type of acknowledgement, further acknowledgement. Lord Jesus, Jesus, Son of the Eternal God, Lord Jesus, the Good Shepherd. So we use some other acknowledgement, some other symbol or representation in order to express the affection of our heart. And the imagery given to us in the scriptures are the best. Good Shepherd, Light of the World, Alpha Omega, and the list goes on. The Living Vine, that's a powerful one. So we acknowledge, if we're going to address Jesus directly, Lord Jesus, eternal Son of the Father, you're all powerful and ever living. And you call us to yourself, although we are sinners. And we thank you and we praise you for your goodness to us. We ask you today to bless us and the people of Our Lady Grace Parish with the spirit of prayer. And you send your spirit into each of our hearts, allowing us to know you and to trust you and to readily and always turn to you. And we ask this, for you are the Lord forever and ever. Amen. So I hope you noticed, Team Grace, I followed the ACTS model, A-C-T-S. The conclusion when we address the Lord is the simple forever and ever. And we want to be careful that in our nervousness, we don't address the Lord and then conclude the Lord. Lord Jesus, so-and-so, through Christ our Lord. What? It's a sign that we're nervous and we're not understanding what we're doing and we're not being attentive to the prayer. If we're going to address the Lord directly, then we conclude forever and ever. Amen. Through Christ our Lord is used when we're addressing the Father. You hear this a lot at Mass, through Christ our Lord, through Christ our Lord, because we're addressing the Father. If we're going to address Christ directly, it concludes with, for you are the Lord forever and ever, or simply forever and ever. So if we're addressing the Lord, it comes to that. Now someone can ask, well, what about a prayer to the Holy Spirit? Yes, absolutely. You can address the Spirit directly. I will say, though, in our tradition, we tend to address the Father. Sometimes we address the Son because it's understood that the Spirit is the one who makes it all happen. The Lord Jesus tells us the Spirit does not speak of himself, but constantly manifests what has been given to him by the Father. But we can certainly speak to the Holy Spirit. He is God. Holy Spirit, come upon us. Open our hearts. Heal us of our sinfulness. We thank you for coming, for being among us, and giving us your grace. We ask you to bless our parish with the spirit of prayer. Help us to always turn to you, especially when things are dark and we are not sure where to go. And we ask you this, Holy Spirit, for you reign and live with God the Son and God the Father forever and ever. Amen. So similarly, if you address the Spirit, you can conclude with forever and ever. If you'd like, you can conclude with a type of doxology. A doxology means we reference the three persons of the Trinity. So you can say, with the Father and the Son forever and ever. Or simply, forever and ever. Sometimes people ask, well, what about if I want to address a saint? Then you can certainly address a saint, a prayer to St. Anthony, or to St. Gianna, or to St. Faustina, to St. Jose Maria Escrivá. You can do that. Oftentimes when we address a saint, we conclude through Christ our Lord. Because every saint serves in the kingdom of Christ. Right? They're older brothers and sisters in God's family. So we can pray to St. Gianna, we can pray to Padre Pio, and we conclude with through Christ our Lord. Team Grace, the most important thing I want you to receive from this first conference is first and foremost the call, the invitation, the encouragement to develop your own life of prayer. In particular, that spontaneous prayer that comes from your heart. And I hope that you use and find that ACTS, the ACTS model, I hope you find that helpful. I hope that you develop that personal prayer. Again, if you pray in the morning, if you're a morning person, do it then. If you're a night owl, pray in the evening. But give that time to the Lord. The more you do that, the easier it's going to be to pray publicly. Although, truth be told, even if you have a strong personal prayer life, you're going to have to follow these models and outlines because it can still be awkward, especially if you're not accustomed to leading public prayer. That's why I hope that these different models have helped you. How to address the Father, or the Son, the Holy Spirit, or one of the saints. And in particular, to follow that ACTS model, even when you're leading public prayer. And when you're addressing the Father, make sure that you conclude through Christ our Lord. If you address Christ, to conclude forever and ever. Sometimes just knowing the beginning and the end can help you get through the middle. And that middle prayer, that heart of your prayer, follow that ACTS model. It can help you. And again, as you have a personal prayer life, this will become easier. By knowing and following these outlines, it becomes even easier. And I hope one day that as Catholics, we are recognized as the true prayers. Man, if you want to really have a good prayer, ask one of the Catholics, right? And that should be us, Team Grace. As Roman Catholics, we have the fullness of the Christian faith. We have the grace of all the sacraments. And the Lord constantly wishes to bless us and to fan that grace into flame. We should be the model witnesses of what it means to follow the Lord Jesus, to be his disciples. And that means that we have to be a people of prayer. Team Grace, this concludes our first conference. As I mentioned earlier, I'm going to give about a 20-minute break. Our next talk will start at 10 a.m. I hope you tune in. I want you to use the next 20 minutes or so to certainly use the bathroom or to get a snack and so on, of course, but also to review your takeaways and to make some resolutions. It's important that this formation day be an opportunity for real renewal, conversion, a real deepening of our discipleship. So use this first conference well. Enjoy this break. I'll see you back at 10 a.m.